and Mike runs with that and how it fits in with my message. It's just a blessing to see that in an and the children's story too, how it perfectly fit. And so it's just one example of how the Holy Spirit can truly work through the body, and it's exciting for me to see. I was going to give out some give credit where credit is due here, and thinking of our families and how they can affect us. And my son Tristan was ever so helpful last night when helping me figure out typing and spacing and all that. And then he's like, "You know, Dad, you kind of usually say a lot. So this time, when you go to say just don't say anything." So I'm like, "Well, that's real helpful. I'll remember that before I say I'll think first." Yes. So, but at any rate, what this morning, what I wanted to bring to you is a stop it. All right, it'll get better once I start reading. So, but so this morning we've got to be a good leader, we must be a good follower. And I guess what I wanted to kind of follow up with some of Wendell's messages previously, you know, last week Pastor Wendell spoke to us about everyone being a leader, you know, called to be a leader, and that we are called to lead in one way or another. I would like to follow up his message by backing up just a bit. Essentially, this morning's message is based around the premise that to be a good leader, we truly must first be a good follower, and a follower, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will start with who we are to be following, spend a little bit of time looking at why, and then finish up with the how can we be good followers. So I'm going to start with the obvious. To be a good Christian leader, we must be a good follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for the non-Christian striving to be a good leader, be it, say, in business or local organization or government, there's lots of books out there you can read on how to lead. There are lots of examples out there that many aspiring leaders can follow and try and emulate. You'll hear many in the business world who will speak of Steve Jobs. Of course, we all know of him, and the try to follow his example of how he led Apple to be a world leader. But for us as Christians, before we can try and learn from or follow someone else as a leader, we must, I say it again, we absolutely must make sure we are following Jesus' example and be certain that we are following the ways of God. The very word Christian means Christ follower. I think we know that. The word disciple means to be a student, a learner, or a follower, specifically a follower of Jesus. So what came to mind immediately as I was thinking on this was the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." We know that song, and I won't sing it for you this morning. And of course, the chorus ends, "No turning back, no turning back." And I just kept, this kept coming up in my mind. So, now I briefly wanted to look at why we must be good followers of Jesus. There are plenty of examples in Scripture, but I did choose a couple, and I'll share those with you here this morning. So, to start off in Proverbs, we find this was in two different scriptures, the exact same thing, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote this, and he said, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." For this to be written for us twice, it seems we should pay heed to this. Really, what he is warning us about is that we may think we have things figured out on our own, but left unto ourselves, without God's wisdom and leading, we could be going in entirely the wrong direction, away from God's path, and never even know it. Another scripture that warns us is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And here we have Jesus talking, and he says that for us to enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Frankly, I find Jesus' admonition here a bit scary. He's saying that only a few find the narrow road that leads to eternity with him. So what came to mind here is that if we are not following closely to Jesus, we may find ourselves somewhere down the road at a fork in the road someday and not know which way to go to get to Jesus. In contrast, though, if we are following really closely behind Jesus, or maybe better yet, even walking side by side with him, hand in hand, think of how much easier it is to go wherever it is Jesus is leading us. Now let's look at some practical ways we can follow Jesus more closely. There are a number of them. I'm going to start off with one. I would say that we need to get in a regular habit of reading the Bible. This has to be, if not the foundation of our walk with Christ, it certainly has to be part of the foundation. Start with the book of John, then continue on with the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here we find out all about the life of Jesus, and also he describes what he expects of his followers. His actual sermons and parables directing us on how we should live our lives. We must be intimately acquainted with the Gospels if we are to know what is expected of us. Another obvious way to be sure we are being a good follower is to go to the Lord in prayer. Go to him regularly and often. Spend as much time with him, talking with him throughout the day that you can. It doesn't have to be just morning or night. I'm completely convinced that the level of our peace is directly proportional to how often we are speaking with the Lord throughout the day. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Philippians 4. We find here in verses 5 through 7. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if we need peace, we want peace, we got to go to the Lord, and he will give it to us. So go to him often and ask him to give you his peace to get through whatever you are dealing with. Then your gentleness will be evident to all. As Christ followers, we should be gentle and patient, right? I think we'd all agree with that. And I know for me, I usually can't do that without God's help. In the Gospel of Mark, he says that very early in the morning, Jesus went out to a solitary place where he prayed. If Jesus needed to do this to keep his close connection to the Father and to get his marching orders, so to speak, then we need to do this well, or as well. So we need to follow his example, go to the Father all the time. Another scripture that does an awesome job, I think, of describing what our walk with Jesus should be like is found in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And this is what Jen so nicely used as a child's story this morning. But Jesus here said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, a couple things come to mind when I think of this. For one, Jesus says that we all are a slave to something and a slave to whatever has mastered us. Therefore, do we want to be a slave to our sins and our weaknesses or give them up and be a servant of Jesus? I know what I want, so we must go to him and learn from him. and give him our stuff that weights us down and burdens us down. Just give it to him. Another thing coming to my mind here is, for one, when horses are yoked, so here Jesus is talking to take on his yoke. Well, when horses are yoked together, they are walking literally side by side. So close, they are just about touching. So we just think about this picture for a minute. If we yoke ourselves to Jesus or tie ourselves off to him. Also, what you'll find is when yoked together, the horses we're picturing here, they're sharing the load. And you have to believe that if we share our load with Jesus, you know he will be bearing the heavier load and not us. It's so apparent to me. And so he wants to help us to carry that. We just need to take on his yoke. So I would submit to you that if you are burdened or overwhelmed and stressed, and if life is a bit crazy for you, then you are not doing all that well at sharing your load with Jesus. So go to him, spend time with him, ask for his help. Ask him to show you perhaps what to let go of or what to pass off, and then listen for his response. And I would say even as a person here in the church, we all, at times we can even be doing things for the Lord and think that's what we have to be doing. But if it's making our life really crazy and if maybe that's really not what he's calling us to do, we have to be aware of that. We have to be thinking and just go to the Lord and he will show it to us. So along this lines of going to him and then listening leads to my next point. We have to be listening for the Holy Spirit that resides within us. So if you're a Christian and if you have committed your life to Christ, then we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we have to learn to listen for his promptings. In the New Testament, Paul, Peter, and John all speak of being given the Spirit of God and describe following and living a life led by the Holy Spirit. This is much of what the whole New Testament will describe for us. One such description is found in Acts 13, where it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" The scriptures then go on to say they were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Notice here they were worshiping and fasting. Fasting is something we don't see in practice all that much anymore, but frankly, I think we should. In the scriptures, we often see when the priests of the king, when the priests or the king was seeking God and needing an answer or needing him to act or do something on their behalf or for the entire nation perhaps, they would fast and go to God, and that was accompanied by fasting. And God would usually hear them and act. And we see it again and again and again in Scripture. It's kind of saying, "God, I'm not letting go of you until you answer me." It shows God our seriousness and our commitment, and it seems to be a special channel towards reaching God. Some years back in the men's group, we read a book on fasting, and it was very fascinating to get this author's take on that and the power that is there in fasting. And we did some of that then, and I know it's been a practice to try here and there to do that as we've got decisions and so on to make. But I would encourage you all to dig into that a little bit more. So I'm going to go along with this and say that we also must be prepared for an answer. We must be quiet before God and listen for an answer from the Holy Spirit. If we are always talking when we come to God, but never listening, actually listening, and then giving God time to answer, we may never hear his answer. If we want to be the best follower of Jesus, we need to go with him with our problems and our requests, as well as decisions we need to make, and we need to put them before the Lord and give him the right to make those decisions, to lead us in the way that we should go. And that is what it means to make Jesus your Lord, to give him the right to lead your life and make the decisions in your life. So you're giving him the right to lead and follow. We might think we know the answer and we have it figured out anyways, right? But remember the scripture. But on our own, so we need to remember that proverb that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. So go to God. Obviously, we don't want that. We don't want the path that leads to death, rather. We do want to go to God. I want to be clear about that. So obviously, we don't want that to follow that path that leads to death. So we need to listen to God. As an example for me, I will try and put decisions I need to make before the Lord, or a project at work, or a new account maybe we're working on, something along those lines, and just put it before the Lord and say, basically, God, here is what I'm thinking. This seems right to me, Lord, but you know all, and you know what is right for me, Lord. So please, Lord, if I am wrong, please show me that. Or please just throw a monkey wrench in this deal that we're working on, and it's okay with me if you stop it. So give him that right. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for each of us. So give him the right. And also then I'm going to follow that up by saying then we have to be okay with that decision. And if it's something we really thought we understood and we didn't and God says no, we have to be okay with that. Then you have to give him some time. There have been times where I've not given him very much time, where I've been like, well, God, this is going down in about 2 minutes, so I really hope you're with me. Or the reality is probably there's been prayer and so on leading up to that, but just give yourself to God and give your stuff and let him work. And then I think sometimes we'll be amazed and we'll be awed at what he does. But truly we need to be seeking God more and more for his will for our life, and we need to be okay with this answer. So to finish up, one more way we can become a better follower of our Lord Jesus is to have a mentor or find someone further along in the faith and to learn from them. Paul teaches us this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." And again, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, first verse, Paul says, he tells the believers there to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. By having a mentor, I'm talking about having someone of the same sex that you can meet with on a regular basis to pray together, talk about life together, learn from one another, and hold each other accountable. Someone to be open and honest with as far as what is going on in our lives. For those of us that are married, we can also get this benefit from our spouses too, right? I often think of this, the verse in Scripture where it says, iron sharpens iron. And honestly, if two pieces of iron don't come together, there's no sharpening going on. And we can think we've got things figured out on our own, but we do need to be together. The key is to be open and honest. I'm convinced that if each of us were to have someone that we can openly share about what is going on in our life, there would be almost no chance of us stumbling or wandering off the path that Jesus has us on. Being part of a small group is another great way to stay on that narrow path that leads to eternity with Jesus. I'm telling you, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that Christianity is not meant to be done alone. We need the fellowship of other believers. Remember that proverb again, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. This is why we need to be walking and doing life with other believers. We need to be doing it together. And this will help us to stay on that narrow path. If you would like to dig deeper into this theme of following Jesus, If you have a study Bible, just look up some of the, look up follow in the back. There's like tons of scriptures that speak of following. And, you know, many of them are Jesus, again, exhorting his disciples, follow me, or calling his disciples, follow me. And I think you'll find that a blessing, as did I as I was doing this. So I just want to thank you, and may God bless you. May God bless your week. I'll just pray, and while we're doing that, the worship team can come up, and they're going to close us. But so, Lord, I just pray you would help each of us to better understand what you have for us. Help us, Lord, each to come to you daily. Help us to give you our burdens, that we may be unburdened so that we can follow you, Lord. So lead us, hold on to us, keep us on that narrow path. And I just pray your blessing this week, Lord, upon all of us. And thank you, Jesus, for all you do for us. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. If everyone please rise and sing together to our